grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our meditation this morning is from the gospel lesson we heard read a moment ago from John chapter 15. And our theme is the love of God. But today is Mother's Day. It's a very special day that we set aside out of the year to celebrate and honor the women who have nurtured us, who have bore us, cared for us, and who have loved us. Of course, you and I both know that things aren't exactly like they are in Hallmark world. Now, is it? Now, understand, I'm not stupid enough to stand here and run moms down on this very special day. But I'm going to state a simple fact. All moms are human, just like the rest of us. Consequently, this sinful human side always has a way of seemingly messing things up for us. It's our fallen sinful nature, and yes, even the best of them, have a fallen and sinful nature like everyone else. You have to admit it, there's not one of us here that hasn't been at odds with a mom at one time or another, have we? Isn't that a fair statement? There's not one of us here who hasn't had to endure the wrath of mom in some sort of discipline, maybe some punishment. I know I got my hand caught in a cookie jar more than once. I know you can tell. But more often than not, it's punishment and discipline that we've rightly earned and deserved. However, there are times, and all of you moms might confess it, that sometimes you just have a bad day. And who's in front of you but the kids? And the kids are the ones who will bear the brunt of your bad day. So the old saying that if mama ain't happy, nobody's going to be happy. Truth be told, this fallen, sinful side of humanity, it tragically cuts deeper in certain cases. And this is tough, but too true. There are people out there, maybe even people here in our midst, who if they had a choice, they wouldn't have chosen the mom they have. They would have perhaps chosen a mom a little more different. Maybe somebody that cared for me a little bit more, who acted more like my mom's friend did. Perhaps even a mom who loved them enough to say no and to discipline and lead and protect and nurture them and care for the gifts of life that God gave her. It's incredibly heartbreaking to me, but when you think about it, there are people who really struggle on Mother's Day because they think that they're stuck with someone for a mom that they never would have chosen had they been given a choice. It's with this concept of choice that the beautiful words of Christ in our gospel should really strike a chord in our hearts. Especially in verse 16, when Jesus said, "You did not choose me, I chose you." It's how very fitting on this day. Like I said a few moments ago, there are more than a few people out there who, if they could, they would have chosen a different parent. What if you maybe did have a vote in who your parents would be? What sort of criteria would you consider when making such an important decision? Looking past all the material things that we try and convince ourselves wouldn't be a matter of our decisions. Shouldn't be, would it? Because I remind you that God knows our hearts and He knows our desires better than we do. Without a doubt, the number one trait The number one quality we would look for in a parent is love. Unconditional love. No matter who we were, what we did, or whatever way we were like, our parents loved us. All makes sense. I mean, would you seriously consider somebody who is cold, callous, and not caring? Yeah, that's the parent I want. And if they were so foolish to make a choice like that, it'd be hard to have any pity for them, wouldn't it? It'd be like, hey, this is the life you chose, now deal with it. Now this brings up a good question. Before we would choose our loving parents, wouldn't they first have to love us? Think about it. If love is at the top of your list, then you would want some sort of proof before you ever cast your vote and made your decision, wouldn't you? It'd be silly to choose someone based on the assumption that, hey, even though they exhibit no loving tendencies toward me right now, they might come to love me in time. I can convince them to love me. I can make them love me. We know very well how well that will work out, don't we? And parents, even you wonderful first-class moms out there, we all must confess that we're not perfect in our love, are we? We all make mistakes. Our love is imperfect. Our love is tainted and corrupted with sin. I can confess that I've made mistakes loving my children as a father. I thank God more often than they may know that they didn't have a choice in who their father would be. There have been many a time I didn't feel qualified or worthy to be the parent of such beautiful children. How about you? By the same token, I also know that I've done things out of love for them that maybe they didn't understand or they didn't even consider it very loving at the time. I had to tell my children no. I've had to tell them, no, you can't do that. I had to tell them, no, you can't have that. I know that during those tough times, they would have chosen a different dad if they could have. Thankfully, they didn't have a say in the matter. I love my children. But that brings us back to the gospel promise of Christ, where he says, you did not choose me, but I chose you. Think about that for a moment. Especially in light of what you hear so often these days in terms of faith. How often we would like to selfishly take credit for choosing a life of faith, as if Jesus was just another kid in the playground when we're choosing sides for a baseball game and, well, let's do him a favor. Let's pick him. That Jesus guy. Let's take him in. That's what it's like. We could have done anything. We could have chosen anyone or any religion. But we chose Jesus. Well, how good and righteous you are, huh? Isn't that special? We're going to heaven because we chose Jesus. That's how God loves us, right? He rewards us for making the right choice. I hope you know I'm speaking sarcastically, right? But you tell me. How does faith come about? According to the Word of God, faith, true saving faith, comes by hearing the Word of Christ. Hearing the Word of Christ in our ears is how we attain faith. The Holy Spirit works within you, works within me. We have no part in it. We're not saved by any of our works that we do. It's through faith alone in what Christ Jesus has done for us out of his great and unconditional love for us. And the unconditional love Jesus had for his Father, who willingly sacrificed his only begotten Son so that we could be redeemed and restored to a right and holy relationship with our Heavenly Father. Such was his gracious love for us. In this life-saving, life-giving gift of Jesus Christ in the gospel that first breaks into our lives and brings life into our lifeless dead bodies, how often we forget this foundational fact of our justification and salvation. How foolish we are when we take credit for the gift of faith, as if a dead body could somehow decide to have CPR performed on itself. Now, do we have a choice and a vote in our salvation? Sure, we do. But there's a right and necessary order that we need to keep in mind. In terms of justification, your Lord chose you first. You didn't choose him. I use this example often. 2,015 years ago, did Jesus happen to come up to you and say, "Hey, do you mind if I, you know, die on the cross just so you could live forever?" Do you remember hearing him ask that? I doubt it. He did it for you, and he did it for all mankind. He chose you before the foundation of the whole world. God chose to send his Son to die for you before you chose to love him. He chose to send his Son to die for you precisely because you have nothing to offer to him, including love. As Scripture so clearly confesses, by nature we are sinful and unclean, and we are enemies of God. In spite of this, our Lord loved us so much that he was willing to die for us, even for the people who reject his love and don't love him in return. And that's what sanctification is, loving God in return. In return for those blessed gifts of life, love, and salvation that he so freely, graciously, and unconditionally gives to us. Now, in terms of sanctification, in terms of the fruits of your faith, that which is produced as a response to your faith, yes, you do have a vote and a choice. You are living proof of that right now, right this moment. See, some things that we do naturally flow out of our faith. Good works do occur and happen in us as a result of the faith given us by the Holy Spirit. See, every one of you had a choice to make this morning. You could have stayed home and worshiped the mighty mattress God. I know I did. I did. I wanted to sleep in this morning. She said I could. But I made a choice. Could have gone fishing this morning. You could have done anything else, but you chose to be here. You didn't make a choice to do anything else. You chose to come to church. You chose your Lord and Savior, who calls you this day to gather here as he lovingly feeds you and nourishes us with his life-giving word. The word of God is heard here in this church. In terms of sanctification, you do have choices to make every day. The world that we live in is filled with temptation. occasion. It's filled with people who aren't so easy to love. That's true. The world we live in is tough and unforgiving and unloving. It's very easy to selfishly turn a blind eye and a deaf ear to all of the sin in this world and all the suffering that's going on around us. Like we talked about in our Bible class. No, I ain't having no part of that. I'm staying out of it. It's very easy to go into a sinful self-preservation mode and choose ourselves over everyone else, isn't it? Yet a faith that holds fast and clings to the justification and salvation that is found in Christ alone, that faith does the unthinkable. It reaches out and touches the untouchables. That justified faith reaches out and loves and serves and cares for all those for whom Christ died and rose for, forgiving as they're so graciously been forgiving, loving as they've been so unconditionally loved by God. And He loved us first. And that's the ironic thing in all of this, sanctification, the fruits of faith, the choices and these decisions that we make in light of true saving faith. It's nothing more than a reflex, a response to the joy of justification. When you think about it, there really aren't choices to be made in terms of sanctification. That would be like saying that the good fruit tree had to make a choice between abundant fruit or no fruit at all. Does a tree have a choice? There's no choice to be made. A good fruit tree naturally and effortlessly produces good fruit. It doesn't have to think about it. And so it is with our sanctified fruits of faith. There really isn't a decision or a choice to make when it comes to abiding in Christ and bearing abundant fruits of faith. It's a no-brainer. For most of you today, coming to church wasn't even an option or a choice. I had no choice. This is just what faithful people do. Where else would I be on a Sunday morning anyways? The love of God is so great that He gave His Son to die for us. He died for the sins of the whole world. This love of God, it's a mighty thing to possess, isn't it? Especially here on this Mother's Day. So if you can, reach out and wrap your arm around the wonderful woman who bore you and gave birth to your wonderful children. Or if you're like me today, look up into the heavens and ask our loving, gracious Lord, "Hey Lord, could you remind my mother that I love her and I miss her?" In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and minds in the risen Christ Jesus.